Welcome. You're listening to a Teachers Network podcast, a series that features some of the best minds in public schools today.
This is Ellen Myers, Senior Vice President of Teachers Network and Director of the Teachers Network Leadership Institute. What you're about to hear is a presentation by Dan Abramsky, a MetLife Fellow in the Teachers Network Leadership Institute, talking about his action research study titled, What Happens Next? Mott Haven Village Preparatory High School's Class of 2006 in Their First Year After High School. This was recorded on Saturday, September 29th at the first meeting of the 2007-2008 MetLife Fellows in New York City.
My name is Dan Abramsky, and I'm a 12th grade government and economics teacher at Mott Haven Village Preparatory High School, which is a small school in the South Bronx. And today I'm here to talk to you about what happens next, what happens to our students after they graduate from high school. But I'm not just going to talk about my students, I'm going to talk about all our students and provide recommendations for how we can raise college success rates for all students who graduate from high school. So the question I have going into this is, how can we better prepare our students for college and support them during college? And my rationale is threefold. Number one, college preparation is a key part of our school's mission and should be a part of every school's mission. Number two, college persistence rates are lower for low-income students of color, like my students. And number three, I missed my students. They graduated, they were my first class of students, and I really kind of wanted to get back in touch with them and see how they were doing. So let me just tell you a little bit about my school, just to place it in the context of public education. It's a typical school in the South Bronx. It's a small school, and the class I'm going to be talking about was our first graduating class. I guess something to draw your attention to on this is that 82% of our students test at level one or level two entering our school, which means they read on a third to sixth grade reading level. So there's a lot of ground to make up in the 4 years of high school. And I'm going to run through some statistics pretty quickly, but they're all reproduced on the handout that you have. In terms of academic statistics, our school has 62% is the average GPA. Our SAT score, 695, was the average combined score. That's combined critical reading and math. And on the Regents exams, 60 was the class average. But I don't want to get lost in the statistics, because my students are real people with real lives, real futures, real presents, real past, and that's important to keep in mind. They're not just a bunch of numbers on the screen. So at our school, we have a really extensive college preparation process. At the end of senior year, about 95% of our students were admitted to college. And we do this four ways. Number one is the advisory program. We spend a lot of time in advisory working on college applications, working on financial aid, helping the students make decisions about college. We also have the College Preparation and Leadership Program, which is funded by our community partner and has six full-time staff members that does SAT prep, college trips, and a bunch of stuff to get students ready for college. In addition, they work on their personal statements in English class, and there's the guidance department. They have a guidance counselor for the 11th and 12th graders. And let me get into the literature review. And the thing to emphasize here is that in terms of college enrollment, the racial gap has narrowed. You see 76% of white high school graduates enroll in college, 71% of African American and Latino graduates enroll. But there is still a really large income gap. 85% of highest income, while 58% of the lowest income enroll. So there is some improvement, but there is still a lot of work to do. But where we really see the issue is in terms of college success. One in six Latino and African American students stop after their first year of college, and one in three after their second year. Those first 2 years are really key to success. And we still see the same gap in terms of income, in terms of college completion. And now I'll show you a little bit about our school. Remember, this is our first graduating class, and there were 61 graduates. In September, we had 76% of our students enroll in college. So we're doing a good job of enrolling students in college. We're doing a good job of getting them into college, and then we're doing a good job right around national averages, above national average, of getting students enrolled into college. And you see they're enrolling in a wide variety of colleges, mostly in CUNY schools. However, issues start to surface in January. At this point, we've already had 9 students who did not return for their second semester. So in our first semester, already 1 in 6 of our students have stopped college. Remember that it's usually 1 in 6 across the entire year. So already we're losing students faster than national averages. The good number is that a lot of our students are trying college. 6 more students started college. So we're up to about 86% of our students who have enrolled college. However, some of them are starting to leave school. So here are some key themes that emerged from my interviews with these students. Number one, all students planned on enrolling college. College is an option for them. They all want to be in college. They all plan on going there. Only 3 students stopped before completing their first semester, so they're at least finishing what they started. They're at least finishing that first semester. They might not be going back for the second semester, but they're finishing the first one. Financial aid was a big issue for students. A lot of them were not in college for financial reasons. And another thing to point out is the last part, is that 3 out of 7 foreign-born students did not start college. That's much higher than our average, much higher than our average for not being enrolled in college. As far as the students who were enrolled in college, 55% felt ready to write essays. That was what they were most prepared for. However, 42% were taking remedial classes. Taking remedial classes correlates very highly with not completing college. So the fact that 42% are taking remedial classes is something as a school we need to work on. 40% were the first in their family to start college, which means there's a significant amount of work the school needs to do to get them ready for school. The honeymoon is over. Once the second semester started, it really started to get serious for our students. I think a lot of them were so excited to be in college the first semester that kind of outweighed a lot of the troubles they are going through. But second semester and the reality started to set in. Students wished they went to other schools. They didn't spend enough time making the decision. The number of students not in schools increased. We see that students want to be in school, but they're not able to stay in school or start school. The 9 students who didn't return is a big issue. Already we're doing worse than national averages on keeping students in school. And the work was getting more difficult. They're feeling the workload more. The workload was getting harder for them. So from this, I drew some conclusions. Number one, Mott Haven has succeeded in making students believe they can go to college. 95% of our students were admitted, 86% of them enrolled in college. Both of those are higher than national averages. So we have a good program for preparing students to apply to college and enroll in college. As you see, number two, they're going to school. Students are starting college, which is great, which is part of our mission. However, we need to better prepare students to succeed in college. It's not enough to get them into college. It's preparing them for success once they get to college. And to do that, I have some policy recommendations. And these policy recommendations are going to be concerning financial aid, concerning college policy, and concerning our high school policy. And in terms of financial aid policy recommendations, these recommendations are really for the government. For many years, the government has provided a free public high school education. And for most of those years, that education was enough to attain a middle-class lifestyle. That's no longer true. So my recommendation is that the government needs to start providing a free or low-cost college education to all students. To do that, tuition at SUNY and CUNY schools should be cut. TAP grants and Pell grants need to be increased. We've seen lately a shift towards merit away from needs-based grants. We need to be making more grants for more money in terms of need. All students should have that opportunity to go to college. I said before that that our foreign-born students were not going to college at the same rate. That's because many of them are not eligible for financial aid. We need to provide financial aid for all students, regardless of immigration status. And funding for education opportunity programs should be increased. These programs have been successful, and funding needs to be funneled in that direction. In terms of colleges and universities, high schools, you see high school graduation data in the news all the time. We need to start holding colleges accountable for graduating the students that they enroll. High schools need to be held accountable. I mean, colleges need to be held accountable the same as high schools. They need to take responsibility for supporting the students that they admit and graduating those students. And some ways to do that are EOP programs, again, have been successful. Colleges need to expand that to more students. And orientation programs need to include all students regardless of residence status. A lot of commuters are not offered as expensive of orientation programs, and those needed to be expanded for everyone. Most of my recommendations, however, are for my school and for all high schools because that's where I can have the most effect. In terms of high schools, the idea is it's not good enough to graduate students. We need to prepare them to succeed in college, not just to get out of high school. And there's a gap between high school graduation and college success. So number one, content areas need to be aligned with college expectations. If students are taking remedial classes, we're not doing our job right. Students need to be taught advocacy skills. High schools, one of the great things about small schools is that we really help students, but we also need to teach them to help themselves. We need to teach them to advocate for themselves. Information about the cost of college should be more available. Financial aid is a huge problem for our students, and we need to make it more apparent what college will actually cost them, both the tuition and the hidden costs, metro cards, books, things that students don't think about that doesn't come on the bill. And again, more time needs to be spent on that process. For anyone who's done it, the financial aid process is very confusing. We need to make sure the students do a good job with it. Furthermore, students need to visit schools. It's hard to make a decision on going to college if you haven't seen the school. Most of our students go to CUNY schools, so it wouldn't be hard to take them or provide money to visit those schools, but that has to be prioritized. Parents should be invited on college trips, so we need to get parents involved in the process and invite them on the trips that our school takes. Also, we need to develop a list of pipeline schools. There are schools where our students succeed, and there are schools where our students drop out in high numbers. We need to encourage students to avoid the schools that are not successful and go to the schools where our students succeed. And finally, we need to create a position to support our alumni. It's not enough to say, here's your diploma, give us a call sometime. We need to have a guidance counselor or a social worker to provide support to students after they leave the building, to check in with alumni, make sure they're getting the services they need, help them advocate for themselves to make sure they stay in college. So in conclusion, I want to say there are really three main points if we want to increase the college success rates of low-income students of color. Number one is the government. The government has to make it a priority to fund public education through college. We need to start thinking of school not as K-12, but K-16, and the government needs to make that a priority. Number two, we need to put pressure on colleges to take more responsibility for graduating the students they admit and enroll. Colleges need to be held accountable for their work. And number three, high schools. High schools need to start thinking of themselves not as preparing students to graduate from high school, but as graduating students to succeed in college and taking responsibility for the students after they leave the building. Thank you. Okay, just not part of the formal presentation because I didn't know how to work it in there. My last proposal was to have a position added to high schools to track alumni. And I know when I was here last year for my first year, I kind of questioned, what am I doing here? Why am I doing this? Is this going to have an effect? Why am I doing all this research? Well, I presented this to my school and our community partner, and this year they are funding a position for someone to track alumni. Before.